Today, as we come to the table,
he's standing with a great Roman official here, trying to give the gospel. No doubt God used this to spread the gospel there in Cyprus and Paphos. And we know there was a strong church that was there on Cyprus. And no doubt Sergius Paulus had something to do with that, probably a great part of that. And so God is now leading a man with great authority in that region to be able to spread the gospel. And I can tell you, whenever there's going to be a great impact for the gospel, there's going to be great opposition. Guys, hear me on that again. Whenever there's going to be great impact for the gospel, there's going to be great opposition because Satan wants to kill you.
Whenever there is going to be a great impact for the gospel, there will be great opposition. Pastor Mark reminds us today that when we face opposition, it's not always a sign to turn back. Sometimes it's a sign that the enemy sees what you're doing and he sure doesn't like it. When we face opposition, it is often time to lean in and push harder. It's a sign you're on the right track. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. When you're moving forward with the gospel and you face opposition, stand your ground, dig in, and don't give up any of the ground you've made to the enemy. And remember that through it all, it is the Lord who is fighting for you. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 13 as he begins his message, Interfering with the Gospel.
So open our Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Going to be covering verses 6 through 13, but I want to get a running go and start at 4 to look at what we looked at last week and kind of get an intro into it. Notice in verse 4 it says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man, and this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time.' And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. And when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Let's pray. Father, we live in the same days that Paul did, a time when there are many people that are opposing the word of God. They're opposing your word in the government. They're opposing your word in the schools. They're opposing your word even for those who call for you and want to hear the word of God, like Sergius Paulus. And Lord, we need to be those who are bold. We need to be those who don't back down. We need to be those who are filled with the Spirit. So when we face these Bar-Jesuses, these that are fighting against the gospel, Lord, that we can speak boldly and we can speak truthfully and we can speak with power. Lord, your word going forth in power, but us also walking in authority. Lord, even as we sang just a moment ago, walking in that authority. Lord, we need it in the days in which we live. We know your word says that in the last days, there's going to be greater and greater opposition against your word. And God, even in a nation like ours that has traditionally stood for your word in schools, in government, in everywhere, we have now turned away. And God, while I ask your forgiveness of that, Lord, I pray that you would give those of us who are still making a stand boldness. Lord, we hold the answers for our nation. And we hold the answers for this world in Jesus Christ. And there are going to be those around us who need to hear and want to hear. God, give us the boldness and the leading of your Holy Spirit to do it. Let us not be backed down by the bar Jesuses that surround us. But Lord, let us stand up, come what may, and speak boldly for the name of the true Jesus, Jesus the Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we look at this, guys, I've entitled this Interfering with the Gospel, because that really sums up what this is about today. Remember the setting. God had called Paul. God had called Barnabas. God had sent them out by the Holy Spirit to go into Asia Minor and all around the world preaching the gospel. And now they make a stop here at Cyprus. So we're going to see they run across this bar Jesus in Cyprus that you can be sure when God sends you somewhere to share the gospel that the enemy's going to be there waiting on you. Are you guys with me on that? There's going to be opposition. And anytime you try to introduce the word of God, or you're trying to introduce prayer, or you try to do something for the things of God, there's going to be opposition because the battle is raging and it's a spiritual battle. It's not just the people here on earth. We're the ones that are used, but this is a spiritual battle. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, the Bible says, in heavenly places. And they are very well organized and they're there waiting on us when we get there. The good news is the Lord is waiting on us as well. And the Lord is with us, and the Lord goes with us. And there are going to be those that interfere with the gospel, just like this bar Jesus guy. It's interesting to me that you can take something so good, and you can try to introduce it to save people's lives, and there'd be so much opposition. It's just amazing to me. And yet that's what we see with the gospel, and that's what we're going to see today. Enemies of God, enemies of the truth. The saddest part is they're not satisfied with the fact that they have to be shut out of the kingdom. They want to try to take you with them. And they want to shut everyone else out of the kingdom that wants to come to the Lord. And that's the part that not only is sad, it's the part that's angering. And so we have to make a stand and say, you know what? No, this is the truth, and we have to stand on the truth. And we're going to, you know, again, pray today that God will give us the boldness to stand on the truth, because we're going to need it more than ever in the days in which we live. Maybe not necessarily calling down blindness on people, although there's some I'd like to do that to, and we'll get to that in a moment. But guys, being able to speak with authority and saying, look, this is the truth. It doesn't matter about us. It doesn't matter about what we believe or our opinion. It is what God says in the Word of God. And more than ever, this world needs it today, and it's going to get darker around us. We've got to learn to make a stand and to be bold in the things of the Lord. You know, it's one thing for us to reject the truth and the love of God, but it's entirely another thing to stop someone else from coming to Him. Jesus said this, guys. This verse has always been scary to me, and I'm glad I'm standing on the right side of this. But to stand on the wrong side of this and have to face the Lord one day, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 18:6. And this has a lot to do with this bar Jesus character we're going to see today. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Guys, this is the heavenly mafia. You ever seen a millstone? They're huge. Some millstones are as big as this pulpit. And they have a hole in the middle and they put a stick through and they grind up the grain with them. And all these millstones were all over Capernaum. If you go to Israel with us here in a year and a half, you're going to see these millstones. They've uncovered just myriads of them. Some of them are smaller, but even the small ones are huge. And the big ones are just enormous. And the Lord teaching up in that region when he said this, probably next to a millstone, he said, if you're causing somebody to stay away from the faith, this is the good news for you. Here's your good news. I'm giving them the good news of salvation. Your good news is you get one of these stones around your neck and thrown into the sea. That'll be the best thing that will ever happen to you. Wow. You know, we think about Jesus, right? Always being so gentle. He was man's man, and he was bold. And whenever it came to those that were trying to keep people out of the kingdom and keep them away from the gospel, he didn't pull any punches. He actually gave some. Now, maybe not literally, but verbally. And he did take the whip and drive them out of the court, didn't he? And it's interesting. You know, I read that verse and you think, yeah, well, he's talking about little children. And he is talking about little children. But did you know the Lord refers to us as children as well? Remember when he talked to his disciples? They're out in the boat after his resurrection, and he calls out to them from the shore, and what does he say? Children, have you caught anything? We are considered God's children as well. And what the Lord is saying is if someone causes any of God's children or anyone that would be God's children to have a stumbling block in getting to the kingdom of God, I'll give them a stumbling block. I'll put it around their neck and throw them in the sea. And that's the good part, because after that comes eternal condemnation. Wow. Do you think this is a serious subject to the Lord, standing in the way of the gospel? Guys, this puts fear in my heart and chills down my spine when I see some of our officials in America, some of our leaders at the local level, the state level, the national level, making a stand against the word of God and against prayer, making a stand against Israel, making a stand. When I see these things, these kind of scriptures come to my mind, and I think, you know what? God's going to deal with that, and it's not going to be pretty. Now, we hope that they repent, and that's the desire, but we have got to be bold in the face of that, and we've got to speak up. It's interesting, this Bar-Jesus was a Jewish man. I got this article I read yesterday. I've got to read this to you. Listen to this, this headline I ran across. Group calls military Bibles a national security threat. I don't know about you guys, but Bibles are very scary. You know, you can just jump up and strangle you or hurt you or something could happen. One get caught on your throat maybe as you're reading it. I don't know. It's a dangerous item. We need to remove them from the hands of the people. Now, if I'm being a little sarcastic today, forgive me because that's kind of the mood I'm in. This morning after I got started in first service, I had to stop and tell them, say, look, I'm not mad at you guys. I love you guys. I'm not mad at you guys. I get upset with the enemy. If you sense any sarcasm or any aggressiveness coming out in this morning, it's against the enemy. It's not even so much against mankind that rejects God. It's against the enemy that stirs mankind. It's against the enemy that's the liar and doing all this behind the scenes. That's the one I get upset with. And the Jews among all people should know better. Now, you know that I love the Jews. God put a supernatural love in my heart for the Jews when I came to Christ. I love the nation of Israel. We stand with the nation of Israel. But the Jews have been a stumbling block and stood in the way of people coming to Christ for many centuries. And that's, you know, when I read this article, you'll see why I say this. Again, it's just amazing to me because of all the people who should be leading people to Jesus Christ and all the people who should be preaching the truth of the Bible, it should be a Jewish person. They're the ones that God gave the Word of God to. They're the ones that God preserved it through. And to see them opposing it is crazy because this is a Jew here that's opposing this. That's why I give you, listen to this article. The U.S. military has revoked its approval of a series of military-themed Bibles, reportedly over trademark issues, but there's more behind it than that. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation. What a name. Isn't it amazing how they pick names that sound really good? Yeah, military religious freedom. No, it's military freedom from religion is what they're really promoting. Notice this. They're demanding that not just the Bibles that these guys put, but all remaining versions of Bibles be removed from the base exchanges, calling these Bibles a threat to national security. No, sir, you're the threat to national security. Jesus Christ is the answer for national security. And he's the one that, he's our only hope. You think we're going to get out of this economic crisis by our wits? You think we're going to get out of the dangers around the world with Iran now reported last week got their first nuclear weapon? It's been confirmed. You think now that we know these things are happening and all this is going on, you think that somehow we're going to get out of these world problems without Jesus? It's impossible. That's why he's got to come back and rescue us. My hope is that we come to our senses and cry out for some help before then because he's willing to help now. And yes, he's going to straighten things out when he gets here. But anyway, they want this threat to national security removed. The military series of Bibles published by B&H Publishing, Lifeway Christian Resources, and Southern Baptist Convention, representing the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps. The Bibles are tailored to each specific military branch, but the Military Religious Freedom Foundation complained that the Bibles were an official endorsement by the U.S. military. They alleged that the Bibles not only violated the U.S. Constitution, excuse me, our Congress used to make Bibles and send them around the world for missionaries. Did you guys know that? Our Congress had Bibles printed. I wish they would spend tax money on that today. How about you guys? They're going to take it. I'll let them spend it on something worthwhile to save the world, right? And so the bottom line is that these people have no clue, so I'll calm down. But also violated Defense Department regulations. Listen to what he says, and I quote, "It totally savages one of the most basic Department of Defense regulations that exist," said spokesman for this group, Mikey Weinstein. I'm not picking on Mikey Weinstein, but when I read that Jewish name and studying this week about Bar-Jesus, this Jew we're going to see that's opposing the spread of the gospel, I thought, Lord, how long will they be stubborn? I love them, and I love the nation of Israel, and I stand with them because God said to stand with them. God said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, those who bless Israel, I will bless, and those who curse Israel, I will curse. So guess where I'm standing? I want to be blessed. How about you guys? I'm standing with Israel, but they are a stiff-necked people, even as God has said throughout all the scripture, are they not? I am not trying to offend any Jew. I have great Jewish friends. I think people know my heart toward them. But when I read this stuff, it drives me crazy. I wish it said anybody but a Jewish person doing this. Because they should be the ones standing up and saying, stop it. God has proven his word is true. He gave it to us over the centuries. He passed it through us. We have the honor of holding it. We have the honor of passing it on. We have the honor now standing firm for it. And now this guy says it's a national security threat? My goodness. And maybe that's why I feel a little fiery. I didn't realize that until just now. Maybe the Lord's got me a little bit fiery in my spirit, because really this is where Paul was this morning. Paul's going to go there as a Jew. He's going to stand before this Gentile who wants to hear the gospel. And there's another Jew standing in the way saying, no, stop it. This isn't true. And Paul's going to say, you better just be quiet. And he's going to get those fiery little beady eyes that history says Paul had, you know. It's interesting that according to history, you know, they said Paul was a short little guy under 5 foot tall, beady eyes, a nose that was a crook nose, you know, and kind of bent over, had kind of a high squeaky voice. And I can just see him pointing that bony finger at Bar-Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, you know. I love it. This is where we take up today. After my tirade. They're out on the mission field. They're getting ready to go. And notice here in verse 6, it says, now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Now, there's several things to note here. Note, he called for them. He wasn't just like Paul and Barnabas rushing in to try to force the gospel. This is someone wanting to hear it, and this guy's going to stand in the way of it. Now, who is this Sergius Paulus? We don't know a lot about him, but we know he was a proconsul. Proconsuls were the rulers over regions that were appointed by the emperor. The emperor would appoint the ruler over that region. He was the proconsul or the ruler over the region there in Paphos, in Cyprus. The provinces were broken up into two different divisions back then. The Roman provinces, rather senatorial and imperial. Senatorial were governed by the proconsuls. So this is a senatorial, a very influential man in this position. This area, if you will, was governed by a proconsul, which was Sergius Paulus, this ruler, this leader in this area. We might say a governor, or maybe even higher, probably a senator, really would be a better explanation here, over this senatorial region. And there was also imperial. They were official emissaries of the emperor. They also called propraetor, if you will, but they had different divisions of different authorities. This guy was way up there. He was one of the main guys for the emperor ruling over this region. And he's calling. Can you imagine? It would be like today, a senator calling up and saying, you know what? I'd like you to come and speak to me here in the Senate chamber and share about Jesus Christ. You know, I'd like to hear about Jesus Christ. Could you come to the Senate chamber? We've got our people here. I want you to come share. Listen, if we were to go do that, I guarantee you, Bar-Jesus would jump up everywhere and say, excuse me, we can't be doing that here. We can't be pushing that. Would you believe that would happen? You better believe it. And so we know exactly what he's facing here. He's standing with a great Roman official here, trying to give the gospel. No doubt God used this to spread the gospel there in Cyprus and Paphos. And we know there was a strong church that was there on Cyprus. And no doubt Sergius Paulus had something to do with that, probably a great part of that. And so God is now leading a man with great authority in that region to be able to spread the gospel. And I can tell you, whenever there's going to be a great impact for the gospel, there's going to be great opposition. Guys, hear me on that again. Whenever there's going to be great impact for the gospel, there's going to be great opposition, because Satan wants to kill you. And he wants to kill your family. And he wants to kill your friends. Aren't you glad God is our protector? God is the one that protects us. And so when you step out in the name of the Lord, I want you to be ready. There's going to be great opposition, especially depending on how great the work is. But God has promised the victory. It doesn't mean there aren't going to be casualties. It doesn't mean there's not going to be battle. It doesn't mean we're not going to be limping some, maybe limping a lot. But we've got to grab onto God with all we have and say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I mean, what else? You know, we have two options really as believers. We can kind of just live through life, be quiet and mind our own business and kind of do okay, which I have to admit seems very appealing. Or we can say, all right, put on the armor. We're going to battle. But there's real bullets out there. Yeah, there are real bullets out there, real spiritual bullets, real spiritual bombs. Even as you have earthly warfare, you have spiritual warfare. And I'm telling you guys, it's not fun. And you, any of you that have walked with the Lord any length of time, you know it's not fun. But I would rather have one arm, one leg, and one eye left over fighting for the Lord than just lay down and give up. Because we've got one shot at this thing, one shot, and then it's forever in the kingdom. And then we can get in the kingdom and talk about our owies then. You know? All of our wounds. Probably won't even care. Notice this Bar-Jesus. First of all, notice what he says about him. He's a sorcerer. It literally means one who practices magical arts. We would compare this today to New Age Spiritism, to this Long Island medium lady or whatever, which is on some program. I've seen it advertised. And they show this smiley lady that's all friendly doing all these things or whatever. Listen, guys, the Bible says it's demonic. It's not of the Lord. You almost want to say, oh, you of all wickedness, daughter of the devil, how long will you quit perverting the ways of what true spiritualness is in God? And so the same thing is happening here. It's that same kind of, it looks like it's something that's attractive. As a matter of fact, no doubt, Sergius Paulus had this guy there with him, this Elymas, the sorcerer, had him there with him because he wanted some spiritual counsel. You know, what do I do? There's big decisions to be made. Give me your spiritual insight, you know. And so this guy would, you know, do whatever, wave something, do his magical arts or whatever. And this is the guy that he's got next to him. Now, Paul's got to come in and share the gospel in front of this guy. Secondly, notice it says he was a false prophet. That is, he prophesied, but it was by false deception. And guys, know this. Even as God can speak to us, the enemy can speak to us as well. We've got to discern the difference in God's voice and the enemy's voice. And a lot of people that are deceived by the enemy, they're hearing the true voice. You know, I just this past week talking to somebody about people that have these mental issues and saying, you know, they hear voices. I know there are true mental issues and people that have hallucinations and all that. And I'm not saying that it's always demonic, but I will tell you this. Sometimes it is. The voices are real because the demonic realm is there. And if we're in tune with the demonic realm, if we've opened up a door to the demonic realm, we're going to hear those voices. We're going to hear them speaking to us. And people like this Bar Jesus, they're ones that bring this stuff in. They're connected to the wrong realm. And so they do speak oftentimes of things that are truly spiritual, but it's not God's spirit. It's a demonic spirit. We have to be able to discern that and stick with the word of God. And this is one that gets me again. Thirdly, notice he was Jewish. He was a Jew. Again, how sad it is to me. The Jews above all people should be the ones standing for the Bible and the word of God. And lastly, notice his name, Bar-Jesus. It gives an indication here of a child of Jesus, might be a translation of that. A son of Jesus, a male of Jesus, if you will. How ironic when he had a name that means a son of the Savior, so to speak, and that whole picture of what that meaning is. Yet in reality, it's a son of the devil. And we've got people like that today, don't we? They call themselves believers, truly believe in the Lord, and yet they live for the enemy. Guys, this is something to be careful of because I'm telling you, the Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. And as a pastor, I notice all these different articles and churches around the nation that call themselves churches and they're standing for evil. They're standing for unrighteousness. They're inviting it in their doors and they're lifting it up like it's a good thing. I read some article this week, major evangelical comes out and says homosexuality is good and should be welcomed and all this stuff. Guys, I'm not trying to pick on any particular sin. But if the church doesn't speak what's true, we're done. We've got to make a stand. It is not, God says it is not acceptable. God says sin is not acceptable, and those who are living in sin will not be accepted in the kingdom. We've got to face these Bar-Jesuses head on and say, you're a false prophet. You're leading God's children astray. Better for you a millstone were hung around your neck than you preach this falseness and lead God's people astray. Be bold. Be courageous. Speak the truth. Lay it all, you know, leave it on the field for the Lord. Leave it on the field. That's what they say in sports, right? Leaving it on the court, you know? Leave it on the field for the Lord. Again, I talked to somebody after the service, and they're talking about different body parts breaking and all that. I'll never forget that whole statement that another pastor said one time. He said, I always knew I'd go to heaven, but I always thought it'd be at one time. I didn't think it'd be at a piece at a time, you know? And sometimes as believers, I think that's what it feels like. We're getting killed in different areas, and the enemy just wiping us out. But you know what, guys? We have the victory. We have the victory, and we will end up receiving all that God has for us if we'll be faithful until the end and just continue the fight.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Acts. This groundbreaking book is what spearheaded the Christian movement as we know it, recounting the beginnings of the church. What an incredible time it must have been, experiencing eyewitnesses of Jesus being passionate and bold in their faith. These disciples, who became apostles of the faith, are inspiring in their courage and in their sacrifice. It doesn't go without notice that all the original disciples were brutally killed for their faith or tortured and exiled. Why would these people do this? What was worth risking and even losing their lives for? Well, it's a fact that what they lived and died for was and is true to this day. Jesus came to save, and by believing in that, life here on earth doesn't hold the end all to living. Have you come to a belief in what you've heard today? We'd like to know. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what you gained from today's teaching, as well as anything we can be praying for. You can also listen to additional messages in this series and other books of the Bible in the Come to the Table section at thewaymedia.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the exciting book of Acts. We're thankful that you are a part of our listening audience today, and we look forward to you tuning in to our next edition. So come hear more from Pastor Mark next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.